I'd like you to take your little book, please. Turn to number 3. Number 3, how can it be? Think about, how can it be that God should love me? Should love you? It's the only answer is because he's love, and he chose to love us. It isn't because we deserved it. That is absolutely for sure and certain. It's because he chose to love us. If you would stand as we sing number 3, how can it be?
Of the Lord tonight. I'm glad that you are all here, and I think that Othniel is watching from Oregon tonight because they're like 2 hours behind, and so their church service doesn't start for another couple hours, so he was going to stay up and watch. So if he is, we say hi, and they've traveled all the way to Oregon. Got meetings in Oregon and Washington State throughout this week. So lots of travels. Keep praying for them as they go about that business. All right, let's pray for our service tonight. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this evening. God, just to gather in your house to open your word. God, we pray that you would continue to help us throughout this week to live for you and serve you. God, prepare our hearts to be responsive to your word tonight. God, challenge us. Father, help us. Lord, there's so much in your word that is there for us if we'll just take it. God, I pray that our relationship with you, our fellowship with you would just continue to grow. And God, help us. Lord, we're flesh, we're weak on our own, but God, your power is sufficient for all of our needs. And God, we pray that you would help tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Like he did, and there is no other place to put our hope but in him. So if you'll take your little book again, turn to number 10. Number 10, we're going to sing, "My Hope is in the Lord. No merit of my own," the second verse says. "My only hope is found in Jesus' righteousness." Let's sing it out. Number 10.
My hope is in the Lord.
Sing the last.
His grace has planned it all. 'Tis my
may be seated.
All right, for Faith Promise, please turn in the cards and try to get those in tonight if you're going to give weekly or monthly to missions. And we want to get the gospel around the world and do our best to get the cards turned in. That helps us to budget. So you just take it and fold it in half, tear the part off with the writing, drop it in the box, and let's participate in getting the gospel around the world, okay? So those are on the offering box in the back. So when you know what you're going to give, fill that out, and let's not try to draw it out over 2 or 3 weeks. Let's try to get them in, do what we're going to do for that. There's a lawn mowing sign-up sheet on the back table, and it works real well if you can get a pair of people. You can do it by yourself, and that works, but you can get a pair of people to help as well. That works real well. But if you can sign up, and what I did, I wrote down the Saturday dates. It does not have to be mowed on Saturday. It could be a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday. It doesn't matter that much. We're not all that picky, and weather, you know, it's all weather-related and all of that, but do what you can to help with that, and if a lot of people sign up, then you only have to do it very rarely, and so it helps. It spreads the load out, and there is also an ABC of Christian Growth sign-up sheet out there if you want to do those, growth or maturity, and then camp flyers are out on the back table as well, so you can pay attention to that, and okay, next Sunday, we want to have the candy scramble for the children following the service. And so if anyone would like to just bring in some bags of candy, you can bring them in on Wednesday or next Sunday morning. We'll try to get those organized. And then so immediately following the service, we'll go out. And I don't know, do we have a candy cannon available? We do have a candy cannon available. So everybody likes the candy cannon. And I like candy cannons. I think you could put all kinds of stuff in there. So anyway, so we'll have some of that next week following the service for all of the children immediately afterwards. And ladies' Bible study will meet this Tuesday at 7 p.m. And then something else we want to do is beginning next Sunday, we're going to try to get pictures of everybody's family that comes to church for a new church directory. The other one is severely, severely outdated. Okay? A lot of people have graduated to heaven. Some single people are now married and have children. So it needs done. So we're going to try to do that. And Benjamin's going to have a camera. And we'll get a place set up, and we'll just say, you know, you can go to that place. And it'll probably take a couple weeks to do it. We aren't going to have everybody just wait in one long line and spend 3.5 hours doing that. But if we can get a few people after the services and just get those pictures taken. So think about that. If some people like to color coordinate and all of that kind of thing, if you like to do that for your picture, then you can be prepared for that. Yeah, I'm with you. It just doesn't matter. Now, my wife might say something different, so it's, yeah, she's like, it does matter. What are you talking about? Yeah, see, that's the way it works. So, okay, those are the announcements. We're going to have a special at this time, and then right after the special, we'll have the children's quiz. Actually, wait a minute, I have one more.
Hold that thought.
So we have finished Institute for this year, and Timothy Wasson has graduated. He is finished. So, Timothy, come on up here. This is a certificate of graduation for Timothy Joel Wasson. He has completed all the requirements of our 4-year pastoral theology program with over 400 hours of Bible teaching, has passed all the courses therein. If you want to look at his grades, we'll just put them right down here on the table. So anyway, appreciate all the work and effort that you put in, and there you go. So, and I asked him if he wanted to give a speech, and he didn't really want to do that. So anyway, we'll have him sometime. He'll preach for us or something. From time to time, that happens anyway. So make it even better. All right, now we'll have a special. Let's see. We need a couple of judges. A couple of judges. We want fair judges, Jaden. All right, let's have Brother Reed, if you can be on this side, and Benjamin, you can be on this side. I know you're biased, but we don't have any. Josh. No. Brother Blue. It's truly the hardest job. Safe. The umpires. Okay, so we have added up the scores already. They are on the sheet, so we'll add in today's and be able to quickly determine the total number for the whole group as well. But we'll first go through just today. And do remember, let's see, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we're going to do a quiz out of 6 questions today, okay? A quiz out of 6 questions. So sometimes we do 7 if we've got a lot of questions, but I only have 22 questions today. So here goes. Are you ready? You ready to jump? Did your parents feed you jumping beans? No? Well, that's too bad. All right, so we're going to start with some little more difficult ones, maybe. We're going to go to the very last verse of Joshua chapter 6, or the last verse that I have down, Joshua 6:26. What concerning Jericho would cause a man in the future to be cursed? If they did what? Martin. If they built the city again. That is correct. All right, so Martin is on the board. Okay, in Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 13, what question did Joshua ask the man with the sword? Isaiah. That is correct. All right, good job. In the Book of Joshua, chapter 5, and verse number 10. What day and where did they keep the Passover? Josiah? Yeah, okay, that's when. What day, where did they keep it is the second part. Do you know where they were? You can't answer. It's his question. Okay. We're not going to count it wrong because he got half of it, but we're just no points on that. It's 14th day in the plains of Jericho. In the plains of Jericho is where they kept it. Here's a good question. Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 6. Why did the men of war have to die in the wilderness? What specifically? The verse doesn't say they sinned against God. I don't believe it. It says something else. What did they not do? Not sure? Okay. Anybody else? Because they what? Okay. So they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. That was the key, and that's what it said in the verse. That's what we were looking for. Okay? All right. Joshua chapter 5 and verse number 12. What did they eat that caused the manna to no more be needed? Martin? Okay. Okay, the fruits of the land of Canaan. Okay. Who was the man with the sword? The who? You were up second. Do you know the answer? Mm-mm. Was Martin third? Boy, we're not getting it. Where's do you know? That is exactly it. The captain of the Lord of Hosts. Okay. You got it. We'll get it eventually, right? All right. On Joshua 6:15, how early did they rise on the seventh day? Martin? Yes, about the dawning of the day. What group from the children of Israel was to walk around Jericho? Which part of them, which part of the nation of Israel was to walk around the city? The men of war is correct. I'm not worrying about negative questions today, so it's, there's a lot of them, so I'm, what, Joshua 5:9, what reproach did God roll away from them? That is correct. Josiah found his jumping beans. Joshua 6:19. Where was the silver and gold from Jericho to go? Josiah? The what? No. Martin? The treasury of the Lord, yes. They had a tabernacle. The temple wasn't built yet, but it specifically says the treasury of the Lord. Okay. We ready? Joshua 5:6. How many years had Israel been in the wilderness? That is correct. Joshua 5:1. What happened to the hearts of the Amorites and the Canaanites? Their hearts melted. They were scared, weren't they? Joshua 5:15. Why did he tell Joshua to loose his shoe? Okay. Holy ground. That is right. In Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1, what city was shut up so that none went out? Okay. Jericho is correct. Right. In Joshua 6:10, what were the people supposed to say when they were walking around the city? What were they supposed to say when they were walking around the city? Martin? Nothing. Nothing. Joshua 6:16, on the seventh day when they were finished walking around the city and the priest blew the trumpet, what were the people to do? Martin? Shout with a great shout. You just had the wrong answer to the, or the right answer to the wrong question. Okay, you are done. Quizzed out. And let's see, we've got, what day were they supposed to walk around the city seven times? No. on the seventh day, they were supposed to walk around seven times. That is correct. What were the priests to take up? That is correct. Who was saved along with Rahab? Can you tell me their names? Her kindred, all of her kindred, that is correct. And Uncle Frank and Aunt Sue. All right. Joshua 6:17, why did Rahab get to live? That is correct. Joshua 6:20. What happened to the wall when the people shouted? Yes. Okay. All right, here it is. What were the trumpets made of? That is correct. He was already out. So, okay. That is the last question. Let's see what we've got. Okay, so today, see, Martin quizzed out first, and he got first place for today. So come down and get this front $5 bill there. And choice of one of the bags of candy. Okay. And then Micaiah quizzed out second. And so you come down and get the $3 in the front there and one of the things of candy. Yeah. Okay. And then Isaiah got the next highest with 4 points. So you get the dollar bill and the peeps. And now, addition. Yeah. All right. We'll see how quickly I can do it, right? Oh, wow. You got to be kidding me. Okay, so here's how the points go. For the total of the year, and some of them missed some quizzes and different things, it went like this. Micaiah had 15 points total for the year. Dixiana had 17 points total for the year. Martin had 20 points total for the year. And Isaiah and Josiah both have 28. Now, what are we going to do about that? Jump ball? All right. So that means, Martin, you got third place, so you can come and get the $5 bill here on the end. He's going home with the big stuff there. All right. And the two of you, what are we going to do? Two people. One question. I got to find a question. We'll make it from today's chapters. That's difficult because I really went through them. Yeah, it's just two people to watch, so I think we can get it, hopefully. All right, here goes. What, this is from the last verse of chapter 6, Joshua 6, 27. What was noised throughout all the country? The fame of Joshua. Very good. All right, so you get the three $5 bills and, no, that's only two. Well, if you want those ones and you want Isaiah to have the other one, I don't, you know. Okay, good job. And good job. So the next quiz will be around, it may be the last week of May, it may be around the first week of June, but the next quiz will start over. And again, it'll be anybody that will be turning six by the next June up to 12 years old through that, not going into teens yet. But right around June 1st, we have promotion Sundays. Well done. Everybody answered some questions, and I'm sure that everybody knew more questions than they were able to answer on the spot. But good job. Let's sing a song.
Let's stand again, turn in our big books, the old books, to number 105. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. Let's sing the first and the fourth. The first and the fourth, number 105.
Who can cheer the heart like Jesus by his presence all divine? True and tender, pure and
seated again.
1 Samuel 28, 1 Samuel chapter 28 and verses 5 and 6 to start with this evening. 1 Samuel 28, verse 5 and 6. This will be our final message on the mind of Saul. And that is because once he is dead, his mind isn't working all that much anymore. So that's where we're headed tonight. 1 Samuel 28, and we'll read verse 5 and 6. It says, when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. And ultimately, what we're looking at tonight in the title is going to be seeking help from the devil. Seeking help from the devil. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us. Lord, as we looked at the very beginning of Saul and his humility and his obedience and his submissiveness to both his father and the prophet, no one would have ever expected that it would end like this. God, I pray that you would make each and every one of us aware tonight that we have the same flesh that he did. And God, help us that we would stay right with you, that we would treasure and guard our relationship with you, our fellowship with you. And God, help us to all understand that we need you to live this life and to stay faithful in it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so first we're going to look tonight at this fact, this idea, when God does not answer. Saul was at this point, he was greatly afraid. Now all of a sudden, he's later on in life, and he would like some communication from God. He hasn't had any communication from God for quite some time. And the Bible here very clearly says that the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams nor by Urim. That's the idea of the Urim and Thummim. It was somewhat almost like a casting of lots where God would give direction and guide through that way. Or the prophets. Saul was getting absolutely nothing. And the reason for that, we could find if we read Isaiah 59 and verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And so Saul was simply not hearing from God, because literally if you go all the way through the life of Saul, what do you see an absolute absence of? Repentance. It's missing. It's gone. There were times where he was like, well, I did sin, but it was someone else's fault. There were times where he was like, I kind of did the wrong thing, but would you go with me anyway? And he made statements like that. But what we see is when he was convicted, when he was confronted about the sin in his life, time and again and again and again, and there were multiple times where he was confronted, we see no sign of repentance in his life. And what happened is he was growing more and more and more distant from God. If you turn with me to James chapter 4 and verse 8, there's a very key verse here. And I am glad we're a little bit different in the New Testament. Boy, our sin still breaks fellowship with us and God. It sure does. But look at this verse in James chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. What's the next phrase? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So when it says draw nigh to God, is it saying, well, God, I'm here, I'm seeking your help, and I'm going to stay in my sin? No, it's saying, God, I'm here, and it says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and it says, purify your hearts, ye double-minded. And all too often, we go to God, we just take the first part of the verse and say, draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. But it says then how to draw nigh unto God, and that is by, we got to clean up, there's some confession that needs to take place. And so when we have separated from God, and remember, it's us separating from God, it's our sins that separate us from God. So when we as Christians regard iniquity in our hearts and the Lord will not hear us, who needs to make the move? See, God already made his. He sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. God already put in us the Holy Spirit of God. It is us that quenches the Holy Spirit. It is us that grieves the Holy Spirit of God. And Saul here would not come to God with any repentance. He just wanted God when he needed him, like the spare tire in the back of the car. Christians all too often were the same way. We go about our life, we do what we want to do, and then all of a sudden, I need God now. But if we are walking in sin and our hearts are far from God, before we get to God, we've got some confessing to do. We've got some repentance to take place, some hands to cleanse, some heart to be purified. Yes, God is there and willing to draw nigh to you, but God says, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. This can happen to any of us because God resisteth the what? Proud. And giveth grace to the humble. So what happens? When we walk in pride, I don't need God, I don't need to pray, I can do this on my own. And then all of a sudden we need God. God says, well, wait a minute. You've been doing okay on your own, go for it. God resisteth the proud. God often acts in working with the proud person. He says, let me put a little resistance in your life. Let me cause some things to happen to bring you down a few notches. From time to time, we all need brought down a few notches, don't we?
And ultimately, but God gives grace to the humble. So when we come to God, we have to come in humility. One thing that we see from a certain point in Saul's life on, we see no humility. He's offering the sacrifice. He's disobeying God. He's doing his own thing. He's blaming everybody else. It is a complete lack of humility. God hates pride. Pride was what caused the devil to fall. So when God does not answer, we need to look at our life and say, okay, what needs fixing? If you're saved, he's your heavenly Father. That never changes. He wants to help. But what father wants to give blessings to a spoiled, rebellious brat? What dad looks on while the children disobey mom and they say, oh, now here, let me do some good things for you. No. And so God looks on and God deals with us, and there will come a time. None of us have it all together to the point that we don't need God. And there's going to come a time in all of our lives we need him. And I hope that you know that already. We need him to walk, even just to be the basic Christian. None of us are inherently good. All of us have a flesh. And so when God does not answer, we need to look and say, okay, what do I need to take care of? Something's not happening here. And then we need to draw nigh to God, but we need to draw nigh to God in repentance. And look, if you're praying and you're talking to God and you say, okay, God, what's hindering this? You think God won't show you? He wants to show you. He wants to fellowship with you. So he'll show you. Sometimes we already know. And sometimes it's like, well, I really want God's help, but I really don't want to change. And I really want God's help, and I really don't want to. It is a sad, sad thing when we come to a point where we know this is hindering our Christian life, but we love it so much that we won't change from that when God does not answer. Secondly, when a person wants answers but does not want to repent. Verse 7 through 13 of chapter 28, 1 Samuel, says this, "Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment. And he went, and the two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me up him whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up to thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spake to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. And the king said unto her, be not afraid. For what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God's little G ascending out of the earth. Same word that Eve saw in the garden. She says, you shall be as gods. 1 Samuel 28, 7 through 13 shows Saul at the very bottom. The depths that a person can go to when they are unrepentant is immeasurable. I want you to think tonight. You just consider, think about the very worst thing that you could ever do, that you would say, I, of all the things, I would never want to be or do that. I'm sure some things come to mind. That's where we can end up if we get far enough away from God. And the thing is, we've seen it happen with people. So there's a warning that is given here. Do you think when Saul was right, do you notice what it said there? The woman said, verse 9, unto him, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and wizards out of the land. There was a time when Saul was anointed king that Saul was right with God, and Saul went through the land killing the witches, cutting them off out of the land, driving them out. People were fleeing. People that were involved in witchcraft, they were gone. We're getting out of here. Saul is following the Lord. He's not going to have any part of this demonic activity and the worship of devils taking place in the nation of Israel. And that same Saul, when he sins and does not repent, and sins and does not repent, and sins and does not repent, that same Saul, when he's not getting an answer from God, he's going and seeking a witch. See, who would have ever guessed that he could have gone to that depths? Look, there have been preachers that preached against sin, against wrong, and against evil. And people would look at them and say, they would never. But if anybody gets away from God and they become unrepentant and they play with sin, the depths that we can go in this flesh is immeasurable. And so we need to look at that. We need to understand, boy, we need God. When a person wants answers but does not want to repent, what will they go to? Exodus 22:18 says simply this, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Deuteronomy 18:10 says, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. There were some rules set in place by God because these people were going into a land, and in that land there was idolatry, there was witchcraft, there was necromancy, there were all kinds of wickedness that were taking place in that land. And God says, there shouldn't be anyone among you that's participating in any of that stuff. And that goes in a church as well. And we need to be careful what we read, what we watch, all of this stuff. Boy, we don't want to mess around with Satan's tools. Look at this. So that was God's commandment, and Saul is standing there. Verse 10, Saul swore to her by the Lord. As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Whoa, but God said that she was to be cut off. And now he's swearing in the name of the Lord that she won't be. It's amazing how an unrepentant person will still use the name of God. They'll still talk about God. They'll still throw God's name out there. They'll still, all of that kind of stuff. Verse 13, the king said to her, be not afraid. Well, she should have been. She should have been. And in a moment, Saul's going to be. But you look at this, when a person wants answers but does not want to repent, what are they going to do? If we just go real practical, they'll leave a Bible preaching church and go to one that doesn't preach against their sin. They'll go find somebody that'll tickle their ears so they can say or pretend that they're hearing from God, so that they can, in a way, save face, because they want everybody to look at them as spiritual, even though they don't want to be spiritual. And then thirdly, we see a conversation with Samuel, between Saul and Samuel. Can you even imagine? First Samuel 28:14-19, he said unto her, "What form is he of?" And she said, "An old man cometh up. He is covered with a mantle." And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, "Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up?" And Saul answered, "I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and what? God has departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophet nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do." He's like, look, I want answers, and God's not answering me, and rather than repent, I'm going to get a witch to get somebody from the dead to talk to me. I think truly this woman was actually shocked. I think God allowed this to happen. I have referenced several times talking to Seventh-day Adventists. You know the person in the Bible that talked to or brought up or talked to a dead person? Yeah, it was the Witch of Endor. So when you tell me that Helen White talked to her dead husband, I'm going to go with Helen White was a witch. And because you don't talk to the dead. And she's there, and Samuel begins this discussion. Saul readily acknowledged, "God has departed from me. Answereth me no more. So I've gone to a witch, gone to the tarot cards, I've gone to the psych reader, I've gone to the palm reader, I've gone to whatever else they may be called in our society today, and I've gone to them in order that Samuel could tell me what's going to happen." Verse 16, "Then said Samuel, Wherefore then dost thou ask me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy?" Whew. What are you talking to me for? The Lord is departed from thee and become thine enemy. See, this is beyond. Now, I am grateful that no matter what depth we go to today, God, if you're saved, God is your heavenly Father. God does not become our enemy. But God as a father still has a chastening hand. And when God deals with his chastening hand, God sometimes says, "You know what? You're no longer of any use to me in this world. I'm taking you out." And he doesn't do that as an enemy. He does that as a father. And so that's a little difference between Old and New Testament with that. But the Lord's departed from thee. The Lord is become thine enemy. Now, do you think Saul at this moment, you think that maybe he should repent? But no. The Lord hath done, verse 17, "The Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executeth his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. And the Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hands of the Philistines." Then Saul fell straightway. He says, God's departed from you, but he gives him a because. Look, Saul, you've been disobedient to the Lord. Now again, we're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. God does not depart from us as New Testament Christians. But we can sure quench the Holy Spirit. We can grieve the Holy Spirit, so we're not hearing anything anymore. And I hope that we'll pay attention because we need God. As men with families, we need God. Look at society. We need God. And God's real. And we want God right there beside us, walking with Him day by day. But if we choose to go down the road of sin and just say, well, God, I'm not going to give you any time. I'm not going to talk to you. Our fellowship with God just goes away. And ultimately, God says, well, I'm here. Who moved? Are you as close to God as you were? Is your Christian life growing and developing? Sometimes we get in this process and we go through this long Christian life. Some of you have been saved probably 50 years or more. And you think about that. It's the Christian life is not a sprint, it's a marathon. But we need God day by day by day. And look, there's times in all of our lives where we've been closer to God, when we've been further from God. But always, if we're further from God, it's not God that moved. God's word didn't change. God didn't say, well, I have decided today to set the marker for being close to me more holy. I'm moving it all the way over here. God hasn't changed the rules. God hasn't changed the commandment. God hasn't changed the sacrifice. Jesus Christ is still sufficient. We still have the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to commune and walk with God. But if we're not careful, we get more interested in the things of the world. We get more interested in the information of the world that's out there. And we begin to slip away and say, well, I've read the Bible. I'm going to spend time doing this and learning about this and following this podcaster and this, that, and everything else. And if we're not careful, we can get distant from God, but it's not God that moves. With Saul, he disobeyed and God stepped back. Saul fell straightway, verse 20, all along the earth and was sore afraid. Oh yeah, I'd be afraid too at that point. Because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no bread all that day nor all that night. It goes on through and I'm going to read it all. But you know what you don't see? Repentance. You do not see him acknowledging his sin. You don't see a conversation between him and Samuel at this point. You don't see him going to God and falling on his face. You remember, even King Ahab, when he was told the dogs were going to eat him, he humbled himself. I can't remember all the details of the story, but he humbled himself. And God says to Elijah, he says, see how Ahab hath humbled himself? I'm going to give a reprieve of the punishment that I was going to send. Even Ahab. Now, if you think of Saul and Ahab, who would you consider to be more wicked? In my thought, it'd be Ahab. But Ahab had at least times of repentance. And Saul, we've got nothing. Then 1 Samuel 31, verse 1 through 7, the death of Saul. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain in Mount Gilboa. And the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. The sins of the father have an effect upon the children. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him. And he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor bearer, draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died and his three sons and his armor bearer and all the men that same day together. And when the men of Israel that were on the other side of the valley and they that were on the other side of Jordan saw that the men of Israel fled, that Saul and his sons were dead. They forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. Saul's unrepentant heart affects all of his house and all of Israel. But you notice here, Saul dies, and we understand Saul fell on his own sword. Saul commits suicide, but he fell on his own sword and lived. And we know in the next chapter of the next book that an Amalekite actually comes by and kills him because he fell on his sword. He didn't accomplish the task. But what would cause this guy back here, humble, obedient, submissive, and jump forward to suicidal? What is it? A lack of a walk with God. A lack of heeding rebuke and reproof from God's men along the way. A lack of recognizing that when he was distant from God, that he needed to repent and get back to God. And sometimes people, well, I'm just done. And they get to the point, I don't hear from God, so I don't even believe anymore. Well, just because you don't hear from God doesn't mean somebody else doesn't. Just because you don't think he's real anymore because he's not talking to you anymore does not mean he's not talking to other people. See, when a person gets so far from God that they just throw up their hands and say, I don't even believe that God's real anymore. And life's not even worth living. It happens. And it has happened to people that have sat in these pews. And we need to understand, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. I need God. And tomorrow morning, I'm going to need God. And Tuesday morning, I'm going to need to get with God. Why? Because I know me. I need God. I know this flesh, and you know yours. And I don't necessarily know yours, and you don't necessarily know mine. But in general, we all know each other's. We need God. And we need this thing called repentance when we do wrong. To get back, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And there's nothing much better than having a little revival. But if we won't go that route, you'll likely find yourself in something like this that we see with Saul. Oh, you may not go seek a witch, but you may. We don't know. But know this, God is right there saying, hey, I want you back. I love you. I want to restore you. And we as a church, we want people back. And we still love them, and we would love to see repentance and restoration for a variety of people. God's so good. God is so good. But this, Saul's life ends with what I say quite the warning of just how far a person that gets away from God could go. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we definitely need your help. I pray that you just work in this invitation now and help us to recognize our need. And Lord, help us to do business with you right now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays this evening, you got something to come and pray about, I encourage you to come. This right here, if we're in a backslidden state, this ought to scare us to death. That day, three of Saul's children got killed. It was his fault. Got a great and merciful God that loves us immensely. God's good. Wednesday night, we'll be looking at Hosea. This Wednesday is the final regular week of King's Kids, and then we'll have graduation and the carnival following that. Pray for me. I've got 5 or 6 messages rolling around in my head for the men, just really focusing on the men. I do not have any clue what order they're going to land in and how that's going to go, but God has just laid some things on my heart, and I hope that you pray. I want the messages to be what's needful for our church. We need the Word of God. And, you know, if you preach the Bible, you can't go wrong preaching any of it. But we just need to be stirred up right now, and we need God's help. And men need to serve God. I'm convinced if men will serve God, ladies will follow along, and children will follow along. And so just pray throughout the week, and pray for Wednesday. We need God. Programs don't change lives. God changes lives. And we know it. We've talked quite a bit. You know, King's Kids, I mean, boy, these kids, they need God. They need God. Sometimes it's hard. Are they even getting anything? Sometimes it's hard. I look and say, are you all getting it? I'm sure God looks at me and says, would you get something, you know? But we need God. We need God. Have a great week. Pray. Talk to people about the Lord this week. Let's see if we can't get some visitors in. Let's be about Saturday door knocking. I want to let you know also, we're off of YouTube, right? Okay, so Thursday and Friday, my wife and I are going to over to Chicago to Pastor Lewis's. He's got a conference going on, so we're going over on Thursday and Friday for that, and be what six preaching sessions, I think, on those 2 days, and so it's all week long, but I can't go all week, so we're looking forward to that and just to go over, get some preaching, and we'll be back sometime on Saturday, either that or late Friday night or early Saturday morning. It just depends on what we decide to do. I haven't decided yet what we're going to decide to do, but we'll decide to do something. Part of it depends on how awake we are or whatnot. But anyway, but pray for that, you know, and it is. I like to be encouraged by other strong men, and we need that. And I'd ask you to pray too. You know, I'm watching some disturbing trends in some of the Truth for Youth meetings that I'm not liking, and you know, some of this got to be approached and talked about, and it's always, those are tough things. Those are tough things because you got, I don't know, probably roughly eight churches or so thereabouts that are involved in it, and we're definitely, some are not on the same page, and there's just, we either need to get back on the same page or we need to say, well, we can't, and so we'll see what happens with that, but pray about that. Lord, it's just a battle. It's a continual thing. We've got the Word of God. The Word of God hadn't changed, and so we shouldn't. And stay with it, okay? All right, have a great week.